Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, one day away from the NFL draft. Big news yesterday is Rob Gronkowski goes to Tampa. Thank you, NFL. With all of the shutdowns during the COVID-19 pandemic, the NFL continued business as usual and has given us some good stories this offseason. And, of course, these two are two of the top stories that the league has had. But tomorrow will be the draft. We'll see some trades. We will see movement. We will see the answers to our questions on which quarterback outside of Joe Burrow will get drafted. And as the second quarterback taken, where exactly is that going to be? Who do the Dolphins end up with at five, or do the Dolphins move up to get somebody earlier? Are the Giants willing to trade down? Are the Lions willing to trade down? We think we've got the first two in line. It seems to be as set in stone that Joe Burrow will go first and Chase Young would go second. And then what is going to be played out on Thursday night? What's going to be played out Friday and Saturday? As you know, those draft selections are important to a lot of teams. Patriots are loaded with draft picks. Other teams are going to be stockpiling their future. O.J. Howard of the Buccaneers, where does he go? Now that Gronkowski is going to be on the team in a move yesterday that reunites the two Patriot offensive juggernauts. Again, as if you're in Tampa, this is an exciting bit of news. If you're the Patriots, you got something for a guy that wasn't going to play for you anyway. So it does work out both ways. Gronkowski, genuinely excited to come back to the NFL, as well as he should, because he's in a different environment and he's playing with his boy again, which is going to, you know, for him, he didn't have to come back. He seemed to be happy outside. But that's one thing about this story that you don't want to overlook. Is Gronkowski never appeared, and this is just his nature anyway, but he never appeared like a guy that was missing the NFL in the 1 year he was removed from it. He didn't appear that way. He was doing Gronk things, right? Living the Gronk life. And you would sometimes step back and go, you know what? This is if you just looked at it from the standpoint of him never returning, you would say he got what he wanted out of the deal. He got fame. He got money. He's young and he's having a good, he gets to have a good time wherever his life will take him. He gets to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants and have a good time. And whatever he wants, whenever he wants, is right now get back to the NFL to play with Tom Brady in Tampa. And whether or not this results in Tampa making a playoff push or not, those two are going to have fun.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us again as we continue on Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver on SB Nation Radio. So continue to break down the Gronkowski move to Tampa Bay and the Patriots getting a fourth round pick for it. But tomorrow is the NFL draft, first round. A little nervous as IT techs will be on display as we see how this plays itself out. So did you hear the Lions are going to have their IT guy in a Winnebago right outside the general manager's house to help out? This is going to be fun.
Just camping out three days.
Just camping out 3 days. So he gets to go home. He doesn't have to live in the Winnebago for 3 days. But he's got to go to the office. I think if you're an IT guy on these teams, this is where you just got to go, give me all the Red Bull, Monster Energy, whatever. I'm just going to be up for 3 days working on this stuff, making sure it runs smooth.
Now, when you hear the term Winnebago, are you thinking one of those plush motorhomes that that Stars take, or are you thinking Cousin Eddie's?
No. I'm thinking of Cousin Eddie's. You're right. I'm thinking of Cousin Eddie's, right? Just boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Him dumping out the sewage.
Him dumping out the sewage in the morning in a bathrobe way too short.
Exactly. Yeah. Did they get him a really, really nice one? Did they get him like a, oh my God, this is like a.
I mean, apartment. You hope.
You gotta hope. Or did they get him one of those like FBI vans? You know, where it's like they have all the necessary computer stuff and just a chair.
That actually looks like a phone truck.
That's right. So what do they like? I don't know how this works. So he's gonna be in the Winnebago, and if something goes wrong, what does he do? Does he go into the house?
I guess he runs inside real quick.
Really quick.
Or maybe, I don't know.
So, yeah, because they didn't really explain this. Or maybe they explained it somewhere else and I didn't see it. But so the GM will be in his house doing the stuff. And the guy will be outside in a Winnebago. And if anything happens, I guess he goes in there and fixes it. Says, stay away. I'll come in and I'll repair it. And then you go right back. All right, then go back to the Winnebago.
And does he have to throw on like a full hazmat suit?
That's right. Does he have
walking? He's got to put the booties on the shoes.
Yeah, that's right. That's another good thing. Does he have to completely get ready and just be in complete hazmat? You're right. Complete hazmat suit and then run inside.
I mean, what if there's no hiccups? Right.
Right.
Hey, what's he doing?
Yeah, what's he doing is right. That Winnebago story is funny.
At some point he's got to be sitting there going, oh, I hate my life.
I know. God.
I could just be home watching this on TV like everybody else right now.
Now, you're hoping that Quinn knows a little bit about computers, right? So he's just not like, I don't know why they can't hear me. Oh, please just hit the unmute button. Oh, there's an unmute button? Yeah, it's in the bottom right. Oh, God. This guy.
The one with the microphone with the slash through it?
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry. I don't like to use these computers. I scout with a pen and paper. I like to use a Rolodex. Like, oh, I know. Now, how are other teams doing with their IT guy?
Well, that was the thing I was going to bring up. Eitan, who's after our show,
right,
had an interesting question or an interesting, you know, trying to make an odd for it. And his was, which team or which general manager will have issues first? Will have technical issues first?
That's a good question.
And by which round? See, I think the first round is going to go pretty okay. It might have small little things. But I think when you get to round, like especially the third day, when it's almost rapid fire, I think that's when we're going to have issues.
Well, I think also when it gets to the second and third day where because the first day, a trade is a big deal, right? The first round, right?
Yeah.
A team that's moving.
Yep.
So you process, like, do you want to move up in the draft? Do you want to move down in the draft? Do you want to give up a first round pick entirely for something, right? Whatever it is, it's kind of a big deal. But when you get to rounds 3, 4, 5, 6, so that late Friday, you know, or Saturday, guys trade picks all the time, right? Like, picks and players are flying off the board,
yep,
right? Just going nuts. That's where that's where it could get complicated.
Yeah,
and
they shorten the round time, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, the round time is shortened and things are flying like crazy, right? So now you're doing, it's possible you could do a three-way trade, you could do a two-way trade. You obviously two-way trade that's what definition of a trade. But you're calling in going, "All right, we're going to send a third, a fifth, a sixth for next year's fourth and this year's fifth, right? Like all those scenarios. That's where it can get complicated. Where you're trying to get, I want to talk to them, and then I got to talk to the league right afterwards. So I got to connect with this team to make this deal. Then I got to talk to the league. Then I want to talk to this other team to see if they can do better than what I'm getting from team A. So, you know, like, go use the Lions. If you're the Lions and you're like, well, I want to get rid of my third, but I want to get, two, I'll get rid of my fourth, but I want to get a third and a fifth, and let me get rid of this. I'm going to talk to the Atlanta Falcons. And after I'm done with the Atlanta Falcons, I need to connect with the New Orleans Saints because they're interested too. And after I connect with the New Orleans Saints, let's go to the league. Like that, I can see a general manager going, okay, where do I double click? This guy's on, but I can't hear him. And then this guy's on, but I can't. Like, I could totally see where that gets screwed up in those days. But yeah, man, have your IT in a hazmat suit. Have your IT guy in a hazmat suit ready to go, ready to run in at a moment's notice. Because the last thing you want is one of the general managers to get in front of the cameras and go, we had a trade, but we lost the connection.
I mean, didn't that happen to the Bengals a couple years ago?
When?
I feel like I can't remember which NFL team was. I'll have to look it up. But there was a team that they forgot to submit something.
Oh, the Vikings did that one year.
Was it the Vikings? Maybe it was them.
I think there's two that in recent memory that have done that, where you run out of time.
Yeah.
Now, by rule, you can go back, but you don't get you can make the selection, but you don't get you don't get it before the team moves up. The team owns the time, but you can still make a pick, but it's later, like it's whenever you get it in, but you run out of time. But yeah, that's happened. But yeah, it's a mess, and you got to be careful.
Because and I would think everyone would kind of copy the Lions model here. I think everyone would say, hey, let's station IT guys at the core houses we need.
Exactly. Doesn't cost you much to go out and rent a Winnebago for a few days.
Especially if it's Cousin Eddie's.
Exactly, Cousin Eddie's.
I figure there's got to be a whole crew outside Goodell's house and sitting in their driveway, right?
You think Goodell's just going to throw his hands up and go, I don't know how to do this. And be like, this will be a team running in hazmat suits that will repair Goodell's computer.
Which one has their kid come down and show him what to hit first?
Oh, here you go, Dad. I told you a million times. Click, click, move here, change this, mow your window. Bam, you're good. Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. We did we took your advice and we did a cousin's Zoom conversation.
Yeah.
We didn't do all the cousins. I just connected with my cousin in New Jersey and his wife and kids. And I had no idea what I was doing.
My kids
jumped in and went, my son's been doing Zoom meetings. All he goes, Dad, it's like, click, 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 boom, you're good. I go, okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
I know. So, I was kind of poking fun at my son yesterday because he was making a lot of noise. And mm-hmm. my wife and I are trying to have a conversation. She said, you know what, listen, bud, next time you have one of your Zoom meetings, we're going to come and disrupt that.
Yeah.
You know, right. Try to prove a point. And he was like, whatever. And I was like, dude, I'm going to walk into your room naked. You know, I said, that's what I'm going to do. And he's like, you go ahead and do that, Dad. I always put up a background anyways.
Yeah.
I'm like, so they won't even see me. And he's like, no. I'm like, how does that even work?
Yeah.
Like, they can see you, but they can't see me, but because you have a background. And he's like, well, they might see part of you, but they're not going to see,
yeah,
really see you. And I was
like, you got to be careful during these. Like, you got to, here's the thing. This is the other thing that you have to realize when you're a general manager. When you're in your war room, okay, if you're making decisions, there's a camera in there. They show the war room. But when you're talking to a group on Zoom, you got to remember you're on camera. So if somebody goes up to you and goes, hey, we got a fifth round and a seventh round for our fourth. What can you do? You can't go, oh, you stupid people. I can't deal with this.
No.
Like, you have to be like, oh, really? Okay, let me see what we can do over here. We'll get back to you. You got to have to remember you're on camera a lot, so you can't do any rolling of your eyes or anything like that. It's not like your conference call on your phone. So you got to be good. I think for me, what's, again, I'm waiting to see what kind of falls apart, but I'm also, I just think that this could be fun. Like I was saying this yesterday, I think you're in a position where anything that falls apart, just roll it off and be like, you know what, guys, we're doing the best we can. It's pretty cool. Like, no one's going to go, I can't watch this. It's the draft, for crying out loud. They just got 6 million people to watch a documentary on the NBA. This is going to get huge ratings at a time where we're craving relative content.
In fact, doing this virtual kind of makes more sense because that's exactly what the draft is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I just think if you're Roger Goodell, you go, look, this is the best we could do, and it's good enough. And everyone will go, of course it's good enough. This is great. You know, it's like, listen, like, take, what's the hot Broadway show that's Hamilton, right?
With
none right now, but Hamilton, right?
Hamilton.
Hamilton tickets are like $700 a pop, $1,000. They're so expensive, it's ridiculous. But let's say Hamilton is, the people who do Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda, he goes, you know what? We're going to do Hamilton on stage. And you can watch it online. Unfortunately, we have to do it with, we've all been tested, we're all good, but we can't do it with costumes. Like, we can't do it. The best we can do is no costumes and our soundtrack. It's not going to be an orchestra. It's just going to be some John in the back with his CD, right? I guarantee you
just
the
instrumentals.
Instrumental. He's just got a CD and he's got the soundtrack. He's just going to play it. We're going to sing, but we got no costumes and we got no set. We're just going to do Hamilton this way. It's the best we can do. I think theater people would go, oh, no problem. I'm definitely tuning in. What time are you doing that? I'm logging in. They don't go, oh man, I'm just, well, wake me up when you've got the full Monty. I'm good. It's the same thing here. The draft is like, look, there are no bells and whistles. There's no crowd. There's nothing. No jerseys. No guy wearing a hat. Nothing.
You're going to hear synthetic booze.
Exactly. There's synthetic booze. All of that.
Boo track.
And we as a football culture, just like the theater people, we go, great, we don't care.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. That's fine. Better than nothing.
Are you selecting names?
Yeah. Are you selecting names that me and my friends can argue about or yell and scream about or be really excited about? Whatever emotion comes from whatever pick you're making. Right? Whatever. Yep.
Can
Whether
we argue?
I'm thrilled, angry, bitter, whatever it is.
Can we still argue that that guy's a reach?
Yeah.
Or can we argue, I can't believe that they passed up on him?
Right.
Like, we know what we're talking about?
Right.
That's all we care about. That's all we want.
You've given me arguable content. That's it. So, again, so if I'm Goodell, I got to go in with that mentality. That the people that are watching this are not going to say afterwards, that was a terrible experience. That they're going to say, you know what? I don't care. I found out that the Giants took Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson, and I'm thrilled. Or I think that they should have taken an offensive lineman. Whatever it is, it's all good. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing tomorrow. I don't care if it's a crap show. I just care that we get content. That's where I'm at right now. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, please. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb. That's coming up in 15 minutes. Don't want to miss that because it's always an enjoyable segment as we roll on Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is SB Nation Radio Wake Up Call, Tony D, Ron Culver. All right, O'Reilly Auto Parts help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads or two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Do you think the Gronkowski hiring, or the trade hiring, is a game changer for the Buccaneers? On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Do you think this makes the big difference? Or do you think they go, no, it's nice, good story, good that these guys are reunited, but it doesn't change my thought of where the Buccaneers are. It's a wait-and-see process. However you feel about it, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, a Ron with two N's. Love to hear from you. Because I don't think it's a game changer. I think it's a great move, but I don't think it's a game changer. I don't think we go from, yeah, the Buccaneers should make a playoff run, or they should be in contention for the playoffs, and if they make it, great. If they don't, I can also see that. I don't think adding Gronkowski all of a sudden puts them in the upper echelon of the NFC. I think it does make them better. And I think that it does feel more realistic that they can make a playoff run. But I don't think they win the division. I still don't think they're one of the top teams in the NFC. Like, look, when I look at them, I don't think they're better than San Francisco or better than Seattle or better than New Orleans. You know, I don't see that. Right. But I do see a team that has no reason at all to be out of the playoff conversation by week 16 or 17. I don't think I have no doubt that we're going to be talking about the Buccaneers in some capacity about a playoff positioning late in the season. Maybe they've already clinched it. Maybe they're going to be fighting for the next, 2 weeks to see where they are and other teams are. But of course they're going to be better. Look, these two guys are going to do something. They are. They just are. This isn't, injuries aside, of course. I don't think they're going to bust out. I don't think Brady's going to be like, wow, that didn't really work. Look at that. Father Time's really kicked him in the face. I don't think that's the case. I think when you have a competitive guy like Brady, who's kept himself in shape, who's going to be under a system that he's going to enjoy playing in, a coach he's going to enjoy playing for, and now his good buddy is on the team, a guy he trusts. And here's the other thing about Gronkowski. And a lot of people are making this point, which is a good reminder to those of us. We see Gronkowski as this party guy. He's a young guy with money and fame. He likes to have a good time. The Gronk cruise, dancing at the nightclub, WWE. Right. All of those things that Gronkowski has been, he has the appearance, he has the image of a guy you'd want to hang out with. Right. Him and his brothers and, driving in a big RV, right? All the things that we know Gronk to do. But those in the know, those who know this Patriots team and will know the league and have been really pointing this out, He's an incredibly hard worker. He is in those meetings. He knows when he goes out on the field, he knows what he's doing. He's not just a guy that's relying on talent alone and his image of a party guy plays itself out. He works really hard. He's smart, and he knows how to play that position, and he knows how to play that position well enough to be one of the best to have ever played it. And Brady understands that. And when you have that dynamic of these two guys on this team that needs a kick, that needs a push, that needs just a tick upwards, these guys are going to provide it. They may give Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, anybody else, to be honest with you, anybody else in the Buccaneers, a new way of approaching things in terms of preparation. Cameron Brate might learn a lot from Gronkowski. The offensive line might learn a lot from Brady. Just different ways of protection. All of those things. Who knows what those two guys can bring in terms of different ways of seeing your position, even if they don't play that position. These guys have that kind of intelligence. So there's hope for that the Buccaneers' culture, it's not a bad culture. I'm not saying that it's a reckless ship that needs a new captain, because Arians isn't that kind of coach. But there might be just an infusion of a different mindset that comes into this team, and that should make them better. And there's and obviously the talent is there with a guy that should be healthier, given his 1 year removal from the physicality of the sport, and a guy that, even though he's 43, is still capable of playing the position at a high level at quarterback. But I don't think this is the game changer. I don't think now you run to Vegas and put your money on the Buccaneers. It's just a really nice story for Tampa. And be honest with you, it's a good story for the Patriots. Because the Patriots took a guy that did not want to be there, had retired early, had no interest in coming back to play, even if he said, oh, you know what, I always knew when the time was right. The time was right when Brady left and went to another team. That's when the time was right. The time wasn't right when I lost weight and felt better and my back didn't hurt as much and I missed it. That's not it. The time was right when Brady left that organization and was playing for somebody else, and they had an availability of which I could return. That's how you read that quote. Because never forget that before that quote, right, what did Gronk say? I want to make it clear to my fans, I need to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down and they didn't like it. I was losing that joy in life. Well, now we're starting to see maybe it was playing for the Patriots and Belichick that caused him to be down. But let's also not forget that he was hurt. And when you're hurt and you're in pain, it doesn't matter. I don't think him leaving or retiring is just I didn't want to play for Belichick. Because even when you play for Belichick, you're winning. Which in the end, if you're going to put your body through that much agony and pain, you're going to do it where you are consistently in the AFC championship game. And you are consistently in a fight to go to the Super Bowl. And you're winning championships. And your name, as great as you are on the field, your name is exponentially greater because you are a champion. And your legacy is exponentially greater because you're a champion. Those guys owe a lot to the Patriot culture. Of course they do. Right? But now they want to try it outside. Now they want to try it. What is it like to play where the way of doing business, even with super successful, is just off of their shoulders? And there's a different way of going to work. There's a different way of going to practice. There's a different way of seeing the sport. There's a different way of playing on Sundays. It may be bad. It may be good. It may be great. It may be the same. Who knows? But these two guys wanted to be somewhere other than New England for their own personal reasons, but it does not mean the Buccaneers have elevated themselves to the top of the echelon of the NFL. That is still a wait and see belief, a little thought process.
Wake up call continues now. time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, the dumb here on a Wednesday. We have reached the midweek part of the schedule, but we keep things consistent with the good, the bad, and the dumb. And what is the good of the day, my friend?
The good of the day, I'm trying to find a way to put this delicately and cleanly as possible. But there is a woman who life has been saved due to her implants.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how much implants you need to have this happen, but somebody, I guess, somebody shot her? That's what I'm trying to figure out, that part of the story, is if she got shot or she was just in the wrong place in the wrong time. But because of her her implants, it deflected the bullet away from her heart.
You gotta be kidding.
No. I mean, that's, like, I guess, like a 1 in a million shot, right?
That's funny. With the as many, as long as implants have been around, I've never heard that story ever.
I know.
That's not like a common thing.
That woman, a woman who was shot in the chest, survived the gunshot after one of her silicon breast implants deflected the bullet from her heart.
Wow. See, I don't know much about that, like the product, but I just thought it would just rip right through it like anything else.
Of course.
I didn't think it was a metal plate that would deflect the bullet.
I mean, I guess there's gel in there, I guess, right? I really don't know.
But you know what? When I remember all the magic bullet talk, and they're just like, yeah, this bullet goes through bone and muscle and tissue, and it comes, you know. So, yeah. So, all right. You can convince me of the science. Well, good for her, I guess. Is she okay? I mean,
she's okay. I guess, let's see. I've read somewhere that it did. She had a broken rib.
Gotcha. Okay.
Wow, which I mean,
shot and get a broken rib.
Yeah, if you get a gunshot and all you come away with is a broken rib, that's a pretty good day.
Yeah,
especially when it was shot at your chest, and I guess like where the bullet entered was the upper left area.
Does Hollywood do us a disservice when it comes to bullet injuries, bullet, like getting shot? You know, with not when you die, like shot, like when Hollywood shows a guy getting shot in the shoulder, and he's just like, ah. Oh. And he still is able to get to the nuclear reactor to
of course,
turn it off.
That's a disservice. Yeah, because I mean, think about
like,
it. If you or I got shot, wouldn't we be down for the count?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I would like to think I muster up enough energy to cut the red wire before the bomb explodes.
Right. Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm going to be like, oh man, I'm shot.
Like one of my favorite scenes is the Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction where they go to those people's houses to get the suitcase.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, the Brett is sitting on the thing. He shoots him in the shoulder for saying what? And then later on, Brett's like, he's just holding it. He's just having a conversation. I would be screaming.
Right.
Like you wouldn't be able, you'd have to shoot me just to shut me up. I'd be in agony. I wouldn't have the brain to continue the conversation or to continue to focus on what you're talking about. I'd be in agonizing. So I think Hollywood has done us a total disservice.
Yeah, I mean, she did say that she told authorities at the time that she had been walking down a street when she suddenly felt heat and pain in her left chest.
Oh, God, Lord.
After looking down and seeing blood, she took herself into the local emergency room where doctors realized she had a gunshot wound.
She didn't know she?
So, I mean, I'm having issues with this because I think I would know if I got shot or not.
I think so, too.
I think I would know instantly. I would look down and be like, oh, look, I'm just not spontaneously bleeding, am I?
But as a guy,
that happens all the time.
But as a guy who's never been shot, I'm just assuming I would be feeling.
Yeah. Well, I just love the fact, like, you know, she looked down. She's like, oh, I'm bleeding. I guess I should go to the hospital.
Yeah. Why not?
I mean, apparently the bakery was closed, so I guess the hospital's the next best option.
Exactly. Maybe I'll get my latte now, and then I'll go to the hospital.
I mean, she's from Canada, so I know they're built a little bit differently up there. So
wow.
I wonder if she stopped off at a Hortons first.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, and I'm kind of sad about this.
Okay.
And hopefully it doesn't come full circle, but Louisville Slugger Factory Museum are closed due to the coronavirus.
The Factory Museum?
Yeah, in Louisville, Kentucky.
Right.
They had to furlough 170 of their employees, and the remaining employees all had to take a 25% pay cut.
Oh, okay. That's sad.
Things are not looking good for him. They're hoping that, you know, something happens where they can get back on track soon, because if not, it might be closed for good.
Louisville Slugger could be closed for good.
Yeah.
See, I would just, this is my thought process. This is how naive I am with this kind of thing. I would assume that when things are rolling up and they go, we need baseball bats again, somebody fire up the Louisville Slugger plant, because we ain't getting them from anywhere else.
Yeah. From CEO John Hillerich IV. So we're not doing any advertising. We've cut all our expenses we can. We're just hoping we can get back to normal before we run out of cash.
Oh, my God. So, yeah.
I mean, Louisville has been making bats. Their very first bat they made went back all the way back to, I mean, they've been making bats since late 1800s, but they've been doing it for the major for the MLB since 1905.
So, is there anybody else that's going to take that market back? Take that market over?
I mean, somebody's got to, right?
Another wooden bat company other than Louisville Slugger? Because, again, if Major League Baseball comes back and goes, okay, we're back.
Would that be Rawlings?
I guess so.
Who else makes wooden bats? I mean,
why wouldn't Major League Baseball just go to Louisville Slugger and go, bring them all back. We're back. Start making bats again.
Here's a contract for all the bats.
Yeah.
I guess they produce about 50,000 bats a year for Major League Baseball.
Wow, that's a lot.
I mean, at first when you look at it, it's like, well, that doesn't sound too many, but then go, well, how many players are on a team? You know, that's a lot of bats.
So, and I'm assuming their contracts for minor league teams as well.
Yeah, but you heard the news about minor league baseball.
Minor league baseball may be dead.
Yeah. They might be. God help us.
They were talking about contraction on minor league baseball before the coronavirus.
Yeah,
like Rob Manfred was saying, look, we might cut some of these minor league teams down. We don't need 100,000 of them around the country. We
could some
trim
of them,
this bad boy down.
I mean, I still don't know the difference between single A and high A.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like I get this like all these little leagues. They're like, well, it's the Pioneer League, or it's the Appalachian League, or it's this league. Oh, and we're like summer baseball as single A. Like there's single A, but then there's summer ball single A, whatever it is. It's all these different types
different
of
rankings.
Classifications. Yeah, Rob Manfred wanted to streamline all that. So look, we don't need some.
Like, and that
the Yankees
makes sense to
don't
me.
Need a single A summer league team in the middle of you know Tennessee.
Listen, if you want to just narrow it down to just three teams, okay.
Yeah.
Or three minor league teams have
exactly.
A, double A, triple A, that makes all the sense. But yeah, I mean some of these teams have five, six minor league teams.
Yeah, there's all these little organizations, and he wanted to consolidate that or contract that anyway. But outside of those organizations, how is the wooden bat?
Honestly, yeah,
sales.
That's the thing, right? Because like I
so
look at my son,
across the board.
My son uses an aluminum bat now. You know, and now they're getting to a point where they use different types of aluminum bats.
Yeah,
because
I have three of them in my garage for my kid's little league career that just sat there and they aren't doing anything.
And some are weighted differently, so there's less pop.
Right. So who's buying aluminum bats outside Major League Baseball / minor league baseball?
And don't they buy, they use aluminum bats in college, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why sometimes the scores are like 22 to 18.
You know what? Major League Baseball.
Although they did try to, they calmed that down a little bit with, like you talked about with the different aluminum bats.
Yeah.
They've adjusted the aluminum bats down. Cause remember back in the 80s, that was the big complaint about college baseball was it was like, it would last
aluminum
forever.
Bats.
Yeah, you know, just guys were hitting home runs all the time, and aluminum bats were making the scores ridiculous. And that was the case for a while. They did adjust the bats to a point where it's not it doesn't have as much zing and pop as you mentioned. And now the scores are, but you still get occasionally you'll still get a 22-6 type of score, but they're not 5-hour exhibitions like they used to be.
I'm thinking the Major League Baseball needs to go to aluminum bats.
Oh my God, you'd kill somebody.
Well, that's true.
Trout swinging an aluminum bat,
you know,
I don't want to know what the velocity speed on that ball will be.
Put the netting up, and that's a risk I'm willing to take.
Right? I think so. That would be fun. Why don't they do that like in a home run derby where they just go, you know
should,
what,
huh?
Screw it. Just be like, screw it. Just give them aluminum bats. What if they hit 60 of them? I don't care.
Let's aim for those little kids in the outfield. Right? It's all time. They can't hit 60.
right? Yeah, that's right. It's all time.
It's all time now. I mean, if you did it back,
it's not the same way it used to be.
If you did it the traditional way, where it was, you know, 10 outs.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys have guys cranking for days
just to see. There'd be a
2011 home run derby still would be going on right now.
You said Bryce Harper with an aluminum bat in his hand in major league pitching. I mean, major league practice pitching, where he's going to make contact.
Well, he didn't. He had his father do it.
Well, remember his father do it, right?
But anybody else.
Anybody else. So, all right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, yeah, it's up to you. Well, I'm going to go this route with the dumb of the day. I had a different story, not so much dumb, you know, just one of those things that we can kind of reminisce. We can bring it up later. But the dumb of the day, I'm going to have to give to New York Mayor de Blasio.
Yeah, this didn't go well, if I'm thinking of the same story.
Yeah, one of the things he said he would like to do, the first thing he would like to do after the coronavirus is done is throw a ticker tape parade for healthcare workers and first responders. Now, on the surface, great idea. Right?
The thought is a... Okay, I want to preface that. I think the thought is a good idea.
The thought is a good idea.
The actual execution is not a good idea.
Yeah. That's what I'm going for, is that the thought of the idea, honoring these guys, that's what New York is famous for, is ticker tape parades. We did it for all our, all the World War II soldiers coming home through ticker tape parades for them. Yankees have had a bunch, right?
Right.
Then who had one recently? Maybe it was a women's soccer team had one recently?
Yeah, the women's soccer team had one. Yep, it's pretty cool.
Great idea. The to do it, though, after, will it be a social distancing ticker tape parade?
We're going to be social distancing for a while. So if he's planning this for...
Then no one's jumping back in and, like, saying arms in arm. I don't really think... I think, you know, this would probably be the worst time to go to the New Year's Eve ball drop.
Yeah,
This coming one, because I don't even know if they'll have it. They might. They'll still have the ball drop, but they're going to say, hey, you know what, viewing of it is limited if you're going to be standing in Times Square. It's only 50 people.
It's been the consistent topic. So when we've talked about sports and the coronavirus, just using sports, of saying, look, this isn't going to be a light switch that one day you'll be like, and everybody get back to your arenas and everybody get back to your season tickets on your baseball teams and whatnot. Like, this will be adjustment. I mean, this is going to take a while to get to that level. So, yeah, looking at the immediate future, there aren't going to be ticker tape parades in cities. There's not going to be the ball drop in our New Year's celebrations. Concerts, my God, these artists, these concerts, it's going to be forever by the time we're filling up.
Yeah, of course.
Arenas to see Taylor Swift sing. This is going to be a while.
I mean, it's just, yeah. And I think it's kind of, I'm hoping he was saying, hey, we're going to do something similar to that. I don't think he did. I think he just came straight out and said, we're going to throw them the biggest, baddest ticker tape parade you've ever seen.
Whatever. Well, maybe when everybody's got a vaccine and when getting coronavirus is as rare as getting some ancient virus that nobody else has.
Maybe that's what he meant, too, when coronavirus is done and he's talking 2-3 years from now.
Maybe so.
We'll throw a ticker tape parade.
And
if that's the case, good idea.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along. It is SB Nation Radio and Wake Up Call. Again, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, love to hear from you, especially on the Gronk addition to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue along on a Wednesday.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us again, SB Nation Radio. It is Wake Up Call, Tony D, Ron Culver. And this hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So, listen, I was thinking about this real quick, and we might need to elaborate on this a little bit more. But I was thinking, if you're a sports team, right, and you know that you're not going to be filling your arena and stadiums anytime soon, is there a way that you can? You're never going to make up the revenue of a filled stadium when you fill it with a third of the people or a quarter of the people or whatever. But is there any way that you can utilize making going to a game just an elite experience? Just saying, look, we can only have 10,000 people at this football game, And the 10,000 people, the tickets are going to be very high, but you're all going to have great seats. And there's going to be an additional bonus. You'll get an autographed calendar, or you'll get an autographed helmet or whatever it is. But the tickets are going to be very, very high. So only there's going to be only a certain percentage of the population that can go. Or do they just go, you know what? We're going to do, you know, Ken, because we want to get to a point where the arena is going to be full. Like, what kind of business model do you have to do when the country still goes, you're not going to get 70,000 people at your stadium, and it's going to be a while before 70,000 people go to a game? How do you figure out a way to make it so that you're getting something from your ticket sale revenues, right? Do you have to do that, or do you just say, look, if you're one of the elites of the country that's got money and you want to spend it on, you know, Florida Gator tickets, this is, you know, there's only going to be 15,000 of you that are going to be allowed to do this. You'll get a whole section to yourself, but that's it. Like, we're not, you know, doing anything else. Because if you're one of these college teams and you do rely heavily on ticket sales, you're not going to, your athletic budget is going to get shot. But at the same time, I don't know if the rich want to, are going to spend $2,500 for a ticket to a game, even if it's, even if they get all the, you know, amenities, right? You're going to get this and that and a chance to, whatever you kind of throw in the pot to sweeten the deal. But it is we talked about with de Blasio and this parade idea. It's going to be a while before we do that. It's going to be a while before Yankee Stadium is filled. It's going to be a good chunk of time. In the meantime, how do they keep it so that the employees get paid and there's a little bit of money rolling in? I don't know. You don't have to go to Elite? That'd be weird.